This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Modi, welcome to Kiribati Language Week and to Aratoi On Air. We're your hosts, Amy Tower and Sean Norling.
We're taking a spotlight to the arts in Otipoti, Dunedin. This week on the show, who'd you talk to, Amy?
I spoke with Sao Jun Lim, who's a local visual artist and received funding in the September 2024 round after coming to one of our workshops at the start of last year. And we discussed her upcoming exhibition, Together Through Art, which will be running from the 17th to the 23rd of this month at the Dunedin Community Gallery. Who did you chat to?
I had a really interesting chat with Jos von Baek, who's organising Data Tempo, an event down at Yours on Moray Place on July 19th. Really cool experimental kind of music showcase. So we talked about that, and it's all ages, alcohol free. There'll be Kai. Yeah, we have a really nice chat about what people can expect there.
Strap in. Here's this chat with Jos.
Today I have the pleasure of being joined by Jos von Baek, who's organising something pretty special this month, an event down at OPCO, or better known as Yours, an event called Data Tempo, and we're here to talk about that today and work out what it's all about. Kia ora, Jos.
Kia ora, Sean.
Thank you for taking the time today to talk about this wonderful thing that I see on the horizon. Data Tempo is a result, I think, of your work within an experimental sound community, and you're curating something which seems really diverse and accessible and designed to maybe challenge the status quo of what people typically think about sound and free noise and experimental music, which tends to be, in my humble opinion, slightly guarded, slightly serious, slightly gatekept by players in the game that have been doing it for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Tell me a little bit about the co-pupa of your event and what you're trying to encourage there.
This is the second iteration. The first one was called Data Techno, and it was just more about, it was pretty much the same, but we switched to tempo because techno is kind of within a certain BPM range that people think of that. I kind of want it to be more like open. You could do like real slow, real fast. But it's just mostly about having fun and being silly, and like having the artists are really all supported, so they're not like feeling a lot of stress about making something, yeah, like you said, like super academic and serious, where people like fold their arms, you know, not being worried about mistakes, trying something new, but also like making something that's within your abilities at the time, because everyone's got like other stuff going on in their lives, you know. If you only have, say, 10 minutes to make a set, then make a set in 10 minutes, and then that's it. You throw it against the wall and see if it sticks. Have a good time, be silly. This data for me. The big thing that stuck with me about data was like that data declares the world bankrupt, and it's like, okay, all this other stuff going on, it's like pretty heavy, you know, let's just have like a little break from that.
And not to take away from the seriousness of what's unfolding around us, right?
You
can have both things at the same time. You can have a really bad situation, but you can have fun at the same time. You know, it's a response to the horrific nature of the things happening around you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the show you've curated and what we can kind of expect.
So what they will walk into practically is I had like a two-stage setup. Each act has, I've put a pretty strict time limit, 20 minutes max, because I'm trying to squeeze in as many as I can. So one stage will always be curtained, and we'll have a projection on that, and there'll be like some visual art there. And then the other stage will obviously be the person performing or playing some music. And then behind that stage, that curtain thing, will be the next act setting up. And a lot of that is also about like the person setting up is feeling like relaxed and not like everyone's looking at them setting up.
It was an open call to the community. I saw some posters in my favourite spots around town.
Nice.
How has that open call kind of worked in terms of pulling through people maybe that you haven't heard of, or, you know, getting these young, hungry, experimental practitioners through and onto the program?
I think the open call has got like, yeah, people I don't know in.
Which is what you want, right?
Yeah, yeah. With the open call, we did Data Techno the same as well. I think one of the things is from the open calls, kind of get like the same kind of people responding to open calls. I could have like put the open call more to say more like high schools or targeted it a bit more, but I just, yeah, we just did a poster run on the street and seeing what found out. I did know social media for a little bit. And then just talking to people, anyone who'd replied, I'm like, send me a demo. And I listen to the demos. I'm like, yeah, cool, you're on.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
So you've been kind of scoping things out with your ears in advance.
Yeah. Obviously, we can't really have, I don't really have time to like move a drum kit onto the stage or like have a whole lot of like gear, like guitars and stuff like that. Mm. So it's definitely like electronic music.
Yes.
Is the main co-puffer of like how it's going to work. Just because, well, I like electronic music and it's just easier to like move onto a table.
Well, give me a sniff of what we can expect just on maybe a sound level or a audio kind of level in terms of who's on this bill.
Who's on the bill? Well, the post will be coming out soon. I think I've got the list done.
Yay. Yeah, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. I've got, we've got some like no input mixing coming up. We've got...
Stop, collaborate and listen. Mm-hmm. What's no input
mixing?
Mixing.
So it's like essentially you have a little mixer and you just like kind of feedback it upon itself. So it starts with like a little, there might be like a little click. Like when you put in like a jack into a thing, it might make a little noise and it'll feedback to another thing. And then you just kind of build on that, like you just roll that feedback. But yeah, you just need a mixer and you just need a whole lot of like.
So a little, feedback loop through the mixer itself.
Yeah. But you're not putting anything in. There's no sound going in. It's just actual sounds. From
generated
the
from the electrical impulses from the leads that are literally being plugged in and feeding back on themselves.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
I do have two acts who have drums that are going to be there. Yeah. It's more kind of like free form drums, I think, as opposed to, lots of samples and stuff like that. And then I have just people who've made stuff at home and they'll probably just play like through DJ software. One of the things I have for it was like you could do karaoke. You could just load up YouTube things and sing karaoke. And I'm like, come play a set, you know, and just like start your live music like performance career, you know, or continue it, you know.
Yeah. It's happening on July 19th at yours. Is it an all ages show?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. All ages, obviously alcohol free, and then there's food, or yours is more of a cafe vibe, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, all ages, koha. So, like, all ages, all incomes. It's like accessibility is the main thing I'm into, is just like having something that anyone can come and see and enjoy and not feel like they're not part of it.
Love it. And you were mentioning projected visuals earlier on. Have you engaged with original digital artists or artists that have their work projected that, or are people going to be playing Crash Team Racing?
That's what I did for the last one. I just set up like a PlayStation on the projector, and we just played a bunch of games. And people were like, oh, I'd like this game on my thing, you know.
Which is very cool.
Yeah.
What about this time around, Yoss?
I am going to look out for some visual artists to get involved. Just because, well, the last time I spent a lot of time playing the PlayStation, which was fun, but like I was like, I was kind of like busy making visuals myself. And I think when I'm there, I just want to be like helping artists set up and making sure everyone's on time, you know, and feeling relaxed and not have to deal with that. So I'll find someone to play. But I really want it to be like, you don't have to spend hours and hours making visuals. Just like, make some visuals. One of the shows I put in, I made a little website that kind of just had like, you know, those DVD logos where the DVD logo bounces around the screen.
We all know that one.
I just had like the artist name bouncing around. Yeah. I think it's one thing I like is have... make sure that if you're looking at the act, you can see who's playing, like at all time.
Sounds like a very cool element. And in terms of experimentation and what's on your bill, give me a heads up on maybe some of the more unusual bleeding edge experimentation. You know, is there something happening on the night that you're like, wow, haven't heard of that before, haven't seen someone do that before?
One of my favorite ones is going to be not a live performance, but it'll be like a more of probably a booth. I wanted it to be a hallway you walk into when you walk in. But a friend of mine has made a little program that sniffs internet packets on the Wi-Fi and turns them into tones and audio. And it's kind of like kind of cathartic processed audio, but it's like kind of relaxing. I've listened to it quite a bit and it's like, yeah, it's very smooth.
That sounds absolutely incredible to me. And I look forward to hearing the results of that. Dada Tempo happening on July 19th at yours on Moray Place. What time does it start, Yoss?
I've had to start earlier and earlier. It's going to finish at 10.
It's respectable.
Yeah. Finish at 10 so, you know, people can get the bus home. That's the big, like, so if you are coming in on public transport, you can come to this, you can see all the acts and you can go home. But I'm thinking probably starting more like maybe around 5, have some acts, then we'll probably have some kai together, I think, because that's the big thing about yours, Opco. They're all about food and having food available to people. So if you're ever hungry in town, you can just go there and have a feed. And I think that's also a nice way to like kind of connect everyone together. Sharing food is a big part of a lot of societies, you know, but yeah, sharing some kai, it's good.
Is there a plan beyond this, how to kind of consolidate what you're building here, maybe more events, more things in the pipeline?
Yeah, definitely. Like this is, I definitely think an iteration of this is quite neat, I think, like an annual thing. But also like there was that Harsh Noise Soft Coffee at RDC. I'm not part of that, but that's some people from the first Data Techno. So it's like a spin-off, I guess.
Yes.
But I think like being like anyone can do this, like it's quite easy to book a night at yours, just like go in and see like someone and like, hey, what's the calendar like? I have this idea. And then like it's not that hard to like turn on a PA and have a little desk and some put a computer on, you know. So I think like I'm really into like this idea that like anyone can kind of do this, and if there's lots of people putting on these shows, that builds the community. But definitely I'll keep programming shows, like that's like a thing that I just happen to keep doing because it's a thing I really enjoy.
Hey, thanks for your time, mate, and I really look forward to seeing you at the show.
Today we have the pleasure of speaking with local visual artist and arts facilitator Sao Jun Lim. Originally from Malaysia, Sao Jun moved to Ōtautahi Christchurch before coming to Otipoti Dunedin almost 20 years ago, and has since gone on to graduate from the Dunedin School of Arts with an honours degree in visual art and has been recognised nationally for her practice. In recent years, Sao Jun has begun working in retirement homes, whose residents are encouraged to participate in facilitator-led painting and arts practices. Sao Jun has diligently worked hard to develop a class environment that is inviting, open, and results in a positive experience for the participants. Welcome, Sao Jun, and thank you for taking the time to come and speak with us here on Aratoi on Air.
Thank you, Emmy, for a good introduction.
You're so welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm originally from Malaysia, and first we landed in, we come here in Christchurch, and because my husband Lim got a job over there, and we are tired with Singapore life, and we want to change the environment, so we move here and get a permanent residency here. And after living there probably about 6 years, then we, because of the earthquake and all kind of changes, then I got a job with Otago Polytechnic. Then we decided to move to Dunedin. Since then, we live here for about 19 years.
So I guess that's what brought you to Dunedin originally, was the new role at the Otago Polytechnic?
Yes, exactly.
And did you train originally in another sector or discipline, or have you always worked in the arts?
I always work in design, actually. Yeah, I always I'm a graphic designer, and I have a multimedia qualification, which is like recording all kind of interaction thing. So art naturally become my thing to go. When I was young, I actually want to be doing fine art, but my parents doesn't allow because they say, oh, it's not able to help you to earn money and not able to help you to get survive. So that's why design is the second choice for mine.
You came from a background where consistent, reliable income meant that it would be you'd be living a successful life. But the reality is you've always wanted to be an artist and you've always kind of been an artist. And you were able to realize that sort of later when you came to study here.
Yeah, so when I worked at Otago Polytechnic, and because Otago Polytechnic have a very good professional development, I actually, before I go into the qualification of honours, I actually have been to art school night classes for many years, and that really doesn't help my certification. I really want more about it, and therefore I take the professional program from Otago Polytechnic, and that is a really good program that allowed me to study at the same time to work. Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
And my team is so supportive, and I allowed to take a day off to go to class.
Oh wow. Yeah. Amazing.
Whenever I can need a class, I can go for that. Yeah.
Oh, so wow. So there was quite a lot of support from your work environment to pursue this.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And what inspired you to return to study?
Actually, I'm studying all the time. Now I actually study as well, which is like I'm doing my master's degree with Victoria University in digital product design.
Wow. Yeah. So you just love to learn, hey?
Yeah, probably. I think I have enough after this.
That's fair enough. And it looks like everything that you've worked on and all the qualifications you've gained are linked in some way. Since almost completing your studies, you've pivoted towards working with some of the most vulnerable members of our community, our elders, some of whom suffer from ailments and issues that require additional support and who live at currently Highview Home and Hospital. We met last year when you attended our very first creative capability workshop, Creative Budgets, Project Basics. After that workshop, you followed up with us about your upcoming project. You got in touch with us via email and we discussed the idea you'd been thinking about, and you then applied for and subsequently were successful in receiving Creative Community Scheme funding in our September funding round last year. Can you give us and the listeners an overview of your project?
So this project has been running for many years, actually probably 3 years, and officially it's actually started before the COVID, and then because of the COVID and stop, and then I went back again and I was really thinking, oh, how can I bring this work to a larger community, you know? And after each session, we have a very small exhibition in the at home, and the friends and their family will visit as well, and that atmosphere is really good. And I think Highview manager, which is Lee, has been really, really supportive, and she actually sponsored all the material, and I'm just like contribute my time. And so then, as I heard about this capability program, and I turn up and I think, oh, that is something I probably can apply with because of this type of nature of the project. And that's why, and Amy has been really helpful. Without you, I think, because the budgeting part is so much complicated, I really don't know how to handle that. Thank you.
Oh, no, it's been an absolute pleasure to work with you on this project, and it was a really good example, firstly, of how you have gone out and developed these relationships yourself, and you've collaborated with Leslie. You've done a lot of the work before you even came to the workshop, and that's what made it so successful. And you were kind of one of the many success stories we had in 2024, because it was through the workshop that I guess you were able to see yourself as one of those successful applications. And so it's been really nice to watch you come through.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't get everything right first time. It's a learning curve. But as you've illustrated in your studies, you're very good at learning and picking things up.
Probably.
Yeah, I know. No, I think you did a really good job. I think that it was really interesting when we first met. You came fully prepared.
So this project actually, the idea of a painting with senior actually just like evolving 2016 when I was visiting on the visiting program with Enliven Positive Services. And I visited two elderly and visit them every week and bring them to wherever they want. Like bring them to the beach, bring them to cafe, you know, all kind of thing. And however, as the mobility have really deteriorated, and then so I start doing the painting with them. Painting have two sides of the my action. One is intentional, one is subconscious. Even you don't have a purpose, you can paint as well. Everyone can paint. It's in you. Because that unique of the gesture is only you can interpret from your own.
Absolutely.
Nobody actually can do that.
And you've learned a lot about the limitations of the participants in your workshops, and you've curated the workshops to fit the needs and the limits of your participants. Can you explain a bit about that?
Yeah, so initially I start the workshop at about 2 hours, but it's really tired for them.
Yeah.
And then I find, okay, in that case, how about we reduce 30 minutes? Oh, still not really good. And then now we adjust to 1 hour, which is just in time, because it has a lot of concentration. Actually have a lot of concentration to them. That concentration has really, you know, make them really tired. And 1 hour is really good for them to fit in.
And I guess it's enough for them to get something out of it, to actually create something. An hour is a really good amount of time.
We only run for 10 weeks. After 10 weeks, we have a little exhibition to celebrate the success, you know? And then we have a break, and then we come back again. So they are more like looking forward to that. Oh, I really enjoy that moment, and I want to come back again, rather than drag the whole session too long.
Can you give the listeners an overview of the project that you got funding for?
The funding was really helpful for me to, because I run this one as a volunteer. I didn't know that I can be paid for volunteer. Okay, that is great. That is, and then because the material actually supported by the rest home, which is the manager, which is quite good. However, in that case, as I got the funding, I able to buy better material, which is the rest home doesn't really know how the material works as well. And I able to buy extra paint or extra, you know, canvas for them, because some of them are really good at painting. They just like go for it. And then the small little canvas doesn't able to fulfill them. So I bought a big one for them. Say, okay, now you go for the big one.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, exactly. So I find that is the funding actually helped me on the flexibility on how I can
serve them better.
Serve them better on the session and as well as the running the exhibition as well. You know, I find the exhibition actually make a huge difference to them. They are so looking forward. You know, there are some achievement for them to look forward. They actually do something. They actually feel that, oh, they are still able to do something about their life, you know?
Can you provide some details to our listeners who might want to come along and check out the exhibition?
So the exhibition is start at on the 17th to 23rd of July. And the opening hour is 11 to 4 p.m. And we have an opening at 18th of July, 2 p.m.
How did you find the funding process?
You know, as an artist, we always find funding process is really troublesome. It's very,
of course.
Because a lot of a step, and you know, you answer a lot of questions, and then you need to compile a lot of information. But for you, I find this funding process is very easy.
Oh, that's great.
And because of your help, I think. Because even though, like, we have a budgeting, those kind of thing, which is a new way to learn. I actually learned a lot from that budgeting artist, what you have shown me.
It can be very stressful. to apply for funding, and what we realise here at Aratui and a lot of arts funders understand is that you're putting in a lot of labour and a lot of hours before you even find out whether or not you're successful. And, you know, you're studying your master's at the moment, and you would have been doing work outside of this last year when you were applying. And to take that leap takes a lot of courage, especially for the first time. And we sort of see this these funding rounds as an opportunity to sort of test the water and see what you could do and sort of get to know the ecosystem, the funding ecosystem. What advice do you have for anyone who is thinking about applying for local arts funding?
Just come to Amy.
Come chat to me, guys.
Yeah, just come to Amy to check, and then you will know.
Okay, so if you would like to, and you should, come along to Sao Jun Lim's art gallery exhibition with her fellow artists, Together Through Art, Painting with Seniors. It is on from the 17th until the 23rd of July. The opening is at 2 p.m. on the 18th, and each day will run from 11 to 4 p.m. at the Dunedin Community Gallery, 26 Princess Street. Ka mihi nui, thank you so much for your time, Sao Jun. It was great to speak with you and hear about your journey as a creative and arts facilitator. All the best with your upcoming exhibition.
Thank you.
Shout outs to Otago Access Radio for providing us this platform to share these stories. You can check out our other episodes at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.